Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Kiev was
special.
Like, from the minute I walked out there, I just felt it was as if like someone had just just flicked a little switch, you know, in everyone's head, and like everyone just fucking raised the level.
The way the Olympia was laid out, it was the same sort of like busy red shirt crowd that we've had at all the gigs across Europe, but then there was this big wall of banners, and then when the spotlight went on, so you'd spot one of your mates just absolutely happy.
Yeah, I feel like I've been in the right place at the right time, as well as working hard for it all. And yeah, it's just sort of now, it's took off massively, and we'd be doing shows around Europe, in America, Dubai, Ukraine. It's nuts.
Conquered all of Europe. We're never gonna stop. From Paris down to Turkey, we've won a fucking lot. But Paisley and Bill Shankly, the fields of Anfield Road, we are Lord supporters, and we come from Liverpool. Alle, alle, alle. Alle, alle, alle. Alle, alle, alle.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. I am joined today by two very special guests. First of all, Jamie Webster, and secondly, Kieran Molyneux, of course, of Boss Night fame. Gents, thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
We've got an incredible show lined up for you, something a little bit different for us. We're going to have a little bit of a chat, and we're going to have a little bit of an acoustic session and all that type of stuff. We've already recorded, or they've already recorded, the acoustic stuff. It's absolutely superb, so make sure you stick around and watch that. But lads, I wanted to get a little bit of a chat with you about, like, just Boss Night and how it all happened and what's happened this season and the story of it and stuff. Quite a wide ranging chat, really. So for you first, Kieran, then where did it all start with you and Boss Night, mate?
I've been around Boss Night since inception, really. I mean, I've known Nico since the magazine days, and used to jump up now and again playing in Oscars. Used to do it with a mate of mine called Tom. Used to be a little duo sort of thing, and we'd play when it was in a sort of open mic set up in Oscars, and then it moved over to Sound. Drifted away from it a little bit, didn't really play any music for a little while, me, and then got back into it a few years ago now, playing with Jamie. And Jamie gave me the kick up the backside, so I played on my own, really. And then from that, obviously, we've had a few cup runs, and with that, Boss Night's...
Why did you say the kick up the backside? Is it something that you never felt comfortable doing on your own?
No, it wasn't really. I just sort of drifted away from it. I mean, I stopped playing with a mate of mine, that drifted away. I was a bit sort of lacking confidence vocal-wise in my own singing. I've never classed myself as a singer. I was always just a guitarist, if you will. And I wasn't playing. I wasn't necessarily playing gigs. I wasn't writing my own stuff. I wasn't playing in the bedroom anymore. I was just a bit up the wall. When I say kick up the backside, I think I came into a gig in Blundell Street, wasn't it? And we had a Boss Night there once. I walked in, I was absolutely blathered. I think Jamie had been playing for 3 hours. He ran out of songs. He looked at me and said, get up here. I was like, no chance, no chance, you get up here. done 5 or 6 songs together, didn't we? And it went down house on fire. From then on, we started playing with him. And then jumped on my own then.
Yeah. What about you, mate? How long have you been involved in it all? Like?
Well, I've been playing music like since my mum wanted me to learn the guitar when I was a kid, and I fucking hated it. You know what I mean? Like, just weren't for me. I wanted to listen to, like, Wear a Lowie and listen to Pleasure Rooms and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But, she said one day, you'll thank me later. Obviously, I have. But well, I think I was 14, 15, got back into the guitar, just fell in love with Oasis and, like, Kings of Leon, their earlier stuff. I was just, like, really got the music bug massively. Played in bands and stuff like that. Found weren't really for me because, you know, with bands and obviously when you're working with other people, if your influences are different, what's coming out? Do you know what I mean? It's like the guitarist listens to Queen as the Stone Age, drummer was into the Red Hot Chili Peppers, I'm into Oasis and the Roses, and the bass player's into jazz or something like that, you know what I mean? It was just, so I swerved there and always just played the cover gigs, but obviously started going the away games as soon as I left school, and a few of the lads gone on to me playing the covers and stuff like that.
Was that down on the coaches on the way down?
Yeah, just on the coaches. I think I was dead shy about it. I've always said it. Like, I was dead shy about, like, playing music, and especially in front of the match lads, because you know yourselves, like, when you walk on that coach for, like, the first time, so an away game, when you're, like, a fresh-case, young 15-year-old kid, and you see all these lads who are, you know, obviously they're talking the stories from here, there and everywhere, and you're like, wow, you know what I mean? Like, this is the fame sort of thing, you know what I mean? And I was dead shy, and a couple of the lads who went on the coach with me at the time, you probably don't even go anymore, showed them a few videos of me, you know, playing in open mic nights and stuff like that. So then he said to me, they started coming down to, like, the Edersteem, you know, the one by Lansdowne Street, and that, they started coming down there. And, like, one time, I think 40, 50 people turned up out of the match. It was the biggest crowd I've ever played in front of, you know what I mean? And as they started giving me confidence to keep doing it. And then he said, hey, there's this thing going on. Have you seen the Boss Mags? And obviously, I'd read the magazines and that as a kid. He said, well, you want to get in touch with them? Because, like, they put singers on it, and I reckon you'd be brilliant for it. It was Ian Oban who said that to me. So then Danny Nicholl and that got in touch. And I think I started off playing 6 tunes at the foot of the bill. And then, well, I think what was good for me, because everyone sort of already knew me face from the match, they were coming down to support, you know what I mean? Yeah, more so. And because I was sort of one of the lads, it just clicked from the minute go. And the next gig I was doing an hour set. Then fucking as Geedon said, like, as it built up and up and up, especially over the Rodgers season, started headlining, so for the past 7 years, every show near enough I've done, whether there was 40 people there, whether there was 400 people there, you know what I mean? And it's just obviously with the Liverpool songs that have built through the success of the team, let's say, I think obviously the better the team do, the better we all do.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, obviously,
it
inspires you to write, well, yeah, it inspires the fans to make up songs for the covers that you're playing. And I feel like I've been in the right place at the right time, as well as working hard for it all. And yeah, it's just sort of now, it's took off massively, and we've been doing shows around Europe, in America, Dubai, Ukraine.
It's incredible though, isn't
it's
it?
Nuts. Like, I mean, it's absolutely
it's
nuts.
Tapped into something, Kieran, hasn't it? Like, fan culture is obviously a massive thing, and I think this football club, more than any, it's tapped into that, isn't it? So you see Boss Nights all around the world now, aren't you? You know what I mean? And but there's always something, the crowd always seems to be banging into it, and that's got to be incredible for you guys. Like,
I always think that the reason it works so well for Boss, because if me and Kieran couldn't play the guitar or sing, we'd be stood in the crowd, or we would have been at some point over the years, do you know what I mean? We'd have been in there egging on the young lad who's on there with the guitar, do you know what I mean? So, like, that's why it's always worked, especially for me and Kieran, because we are literally faces. Like you say, you go to matches, we see each other at matches, we see bump into Paul and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I think that's why it works.
You know what it's like? It's like not a click, but it's like
it is like, I think there's a Boss Night, the beauty of Boss Night is me and Jamie go the away games on the same coach every week. I play the Sand, he plays the halfway house, the other end of Brecon Road each. They're not two people from polar opposites playing this bill. It's two lads who know each other. And this, I say, the people who were coming, even in the early days, knew us as the young kids from the match who were having to go on the guitar. And now it's the kids who've been going on a match for 10 years who were doing well on the guitar. Do you know what I mean? So it's definitely.
It's not like we strutted in out of nowhere with our guitar and, you know, oh, here's a song for you all. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't work like that. It's like, even if you were to go home and try and write a Liverpool song in your bedroom, it'd probably be probably be a load of shit.
It wouldn't work.
Because it needs that away.
It needs to be on the coach as well. It needs to be a moment.
Exactly.
Like, that sound like Klopp. It doesn't need to be in a moment.
In the moment, yes, it was good. But, you know, like, that it does. It needs to be original. It needs to be authentic. It needs to be off the cuff. It needs to be like it is. It needs to be scouts. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Almost.
To sleep, a song from the darkest hour, secrets I can't keep inside of the day. A swing from high to deep, extreme of sweet and sour. I hope that God exists. I hope, I pray. Drawn by the undertow, my life is out of control. I believe this wave will bear my weight, so let it flow. Mo Salah, Mo Salah, Mo Salah, running down the wing. Salah, la, 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 the Egyptian I'm relieved to hear that you've been to some far out places. It's hard to carry on when you feel all alone. But now I've swung back down again. It's worse than it was before. If I hadn't seen such riches, I could live with being poor. Mo Salah, Mo Salah, Mo Salah, running down the wing. Sala, la, 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 the Egyptian king. Mo Salah, Mo Salah, Mo Salah, running down the wing. Sala, la, 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 the Egyptian king.
Kieran, I mean, you said you've been there since pretty much the beginning of it and stuff like that. What was the turnout like at that first one? That
it was pretty much an open mic. I used to go sometimes, not play. I used to go sometimes, watch my mate play. I used to go sometimes and watch him with a skinhead, play a few tunes, and then sometimes I'd jump up. But like I said, it was pretty much an open mic night, really. I mean, that's probably the best way to describe it. It was an open mic night, which John Power jumped up on once.
And there was about eight people in the crowd.
In Oscars, and we just stood there, and that's John Power, and he just sang a few songs and got back off. I think he was having a pint with Peter and that way, and he had the back. And there was, like I say, it was a place for people. We went the aways together and used to see each other at home games, but wanted somewhere to go after the post-match pint. That's what it started off as, I think, and it grew and it grew. I'd say it grew and it grew. It never at first. It plateaued for a while.
It was us.
A few different groups of lads that'll pop along, and then if you remember the Rodgers season, it propelled a little bit because we played Man City.
Yeah.
And I remember I had what ex-bird I was with. It was a 21st birthday, and it was a big birthday meal booked in town. I thought, all this shite saying that I need to be at this meal. And I remember we had the Annie Road, and they had all the smoke bombs and all the flare. I turned up for this meal, smoke bombs stains all over me top. But it was the sound was closed off.
Yeah,
and
there
was busy horses coming down the street. There was Alsatians.
Three people fell out the window, went backwards, out onto the street. Do you know what
I mean? That was the moment I think Boss started to go a little bit, right, this is cool, this. You know what I mean?
We need a bigger venue here.
Because it wasn't just an open mic night anymore. Jamie was playing regularly, you know what I mean? There was Liverpool songs coming into play. And then I went to District, and how long has it been at District now? 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, but like even now, I mean, I love the people at District in America who are literally the perfect people to host our night, you know, because of what goes on.
There's not many people, not many venues in Liverpool who have us, to be honest. You know what I mean?
But like the only problem is now the demand for it's got that big. The District's capacity is like 400 max. And like after a big win at home for Liverpool now this season, you can imagine how many people like the last one we done there before the Olympia and stuff like that, which was relatively early on in the season.
Was it Everton?
Oh, no, we had another one after Everton because Everton was chaotic, and then we had another one
Oh yeah, and it was just a nightmare.
Yeah,
there was
about 800 like
people outside queuing around the block, getting rained on, moaning, ringing our phones, half of them ringing our phones.
No, that was 800 on top of the capacity because the Everton one, it was literally, it was that, you know, the wind, whatever, it was just nuts.
Yeah, it was.
And like people were just literally, people were jetpacking in, you know what I mean? People were just getting in, managing to just get themselves in there. I don't think anyone really expected the magnitude of that goal, you know what I mean? And like, listen, I like, got shut down early because of what was going on in the crowd and smoke bombs, and it was just like literally over the top. It was boss to see from the stage, yeah. You know what I mean? But like, obviously, if you're a venue licensee, you're going to be worried about what's going to come of the sort of stuff that was happening, and a lot of damage and stuff like that. So the next one we tried to really, like, what the venue insisted on, you know, we need to keep it like sort of close. So like, listen, we tried to give a few of our mates who've been there from the start wristbands to make sure that they had priority to get in, which I think is right. I'm sorry to anyone like who hasn't been there, you know what I mean, who might be watching it, but you know, these lads literally were with us from the start. We give about 50 wristbands to our close mates to, you know, to guarantee that they could get in, so they sort of had like another queue. And I remember getting there and people were like, any chance, you know, yeah. What I mean, just in the queue, and felt really bad because you think, fucking hell, these lads are just like genuine
young
lads,
just want to come in and bounce the
little have a good time and that, you know what I mean, which, and obviously they want to come to see us. More importantly for us, you know, these are like people who...
Yeah, you don't want to let them down.
Yeah, you don't want to let them down, no. But unfortunately, there was all I could do about it. Nothing anyone could do about it. The size of the room's the size of the room at the end of the day.
No, and then I say you've got people that you know, you're about to go on stage and your phones are off the hook.
Yeah, the phone, yeah.
You're running down, arguing with bouncers. Can you, come on, let him in, mate, and blah, 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 blah. It's gotten to the point now, it's well outgrown it, like, districts,
which,
Andre.
Which is why we've done the Olympia, which was fucking fantastic, again, boss, I'm like...
But even the demand for that, mate, like, yeah. I went outside to let my bird in, and she's getting dropped off, and I stood there with a wristband for her and a backstage pass for her. This kid come up to me across the door and give you the wanna for that band, mate. Yeah. I went, you know what, the wanna's not worth the aggro off me, baby. to be honest, like, if she stood out here in a minute,
I can imagine, though.
Yeah, honestly, it was like, there was just frames of people outside. The man, I think there was, Nicole told me, there's 30,000 people refreshed the page on Skiddle when it went on sale.
Yeah. And what's it, like, I always find quite interesting, like, how's the actual... the crowd changed. Has it changed at
all? Yeah, it has. It has in general ones, especially the ones in Europe now. Like the ones that we've been doing in district over, say, the past 18 months, the crowd has changed. It's gone from a more hardcore, like, you know what I mean? It's our thing. That was how it was. And now, obviously, people from all around the world are looking at these videos. So when they're in Liverpool, obviously, and there's a boss night on, they're going to try and come down and get in. Yeah. So there is that split, do you know what I mean? And it's probably, in the crowd, it's probably might have caused a few, like, ructions in the past, you know what I mean? Because people who genuinely haven't been here from the start, who don't really get it, listen, we're not into, like, ale throwing and shit like that, are we? It's just not something that we don't do, even if, like, I just think it's...
It's England fans.
Yeah, it's an England fan thing to do, yeah, precisely, nail on the head. And, listen, they're only coming and having a good time, so I can't tell people to stop doing it, but obviously you can imagine...
I can't stop throwing ale.
Yeah, stop throwing ale, but you can't make them, can you? Do you know what I mean? In Belfast, I got a pint bounced off the guitar and nearly, I was fronting, I was saying to the kid, whoever that was, get up here, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. And so, like, the Olympia was sort of back to how it was with the Al school, sort of, you know what I mean? But now, what we're trying to do is we're trying to appeal to both sets of people. Like, we want people who've never been down, who've never experienced it. We want you to come down and see what it's all about. We want you to feel part of something. And sometimes you don't get a sense of belonging that you do in them boss nights that you do in the match, you know what I mean? Some of the atmospheres in them boss nights are a lot better than some of the atmospheres I've had in Anfield or in the away ends, you know what I mean? It's a very inclusive feeling. Yeah. And we want as many, but the thing is, we want as many people to be included in that as possible.
And we get that people don't go on the away bus every week, and we get that people do live on the other side of the world and support Liverpool. I mean, there's some people who just are complete nuts and no time for anyone who hasn't got an L postcode and watch the Reds, and I sort of get your argument on that, but at the end of the day, we're a global football club and there's fans all over the world. And if we're in Germany and there's a German supporters group who
want to put a gig on with us
and want to push us and want to support us and want to get all their people down and
my thinking on it is I've had a season ticket in the same place in the Kop now for give or take 15 years, something like that. And I'm stood next to scousers who don't sing.
And yeah. I've been stood next to people it's from around the world who do sing. It's just one of them
people,
things.
Like. Some people think it's too cool too, but whatever. But listen, from a selfish point of view as well, like, listen, we said we're musicians, you know what I mean? Like, we're getting opportunities to go and play in Paris, in Munich, in Barcelona, in America, you know, and Ukraine, Ireland. We're doing a 4-day back-to-back artist tour next week and stuff like that. Listen, as musicians, this is like, this is what you want to be doing. It's like, that's, you want to go to different places and play. Like, personally, if I seen someone else doing it, I'd be happy for them, you know what I mean? Being a scouser and taking our culture. That's what I think I'm doing, taking our culture that's around it, the world. Man. Do you know what I mean?
We've won it in Wembley. We've won it in Gay Paris. In 77 and in 84 it was Rome. We've won it 5 times. We've won it 5 times. In Istanbul we won it 5 times. We've won it in Wembley. We've won it in Gay Paris. In 77 and in 84 it was Rome. We've won it 5 times. We've won it 5 times. In Istanbul we won it 5. We'll keep it, we'll keep it, we'll keep it, we'll keep it. Stevie G's eyes lit up when he lifted the European Cup. 21 years and now the cup is coming back home. We've won it 5 times. We've won it 5 times. We'll go to Madrid and win it 6 times. We've won it in Wembley. We've won it in Gay Paris. 77 and in 84 it was Rome. We've won it 5 times. We've won it 5 times. We'll go to Madrid and win it 6 times.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the songs that you've performed. Then, Kieran, I'll come to you first on this one, mate. What's your favourite song to perform?
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Changes, you know. It does change.
It's by Tupac.
Yeah.
Sorry, lad.
it does change. It can sometimes, like the likes of that Firmino one, the crowd can be going really, really sick and it can feel amazing, sound amazing.
But sometimes I like playing some of the harder Liverpool, the harder Liverpool song, like My Liverpool, and even Paul Scouse would tell me when I played the Sand and stuff like that.
He played the Liverpool boys in town in the Olympia, you know,
that
and
as well.
It was boss, it was brilliant.
That's it, like, because as I was saying before, we're taking our culture on the road, we're taking our songs on the road, and everybody knows that there's a portion of Liverpool fans who come over here and haven't got a clue. And they stand there singing Luis Garcia over and over and over, and there's people getting pissed off, and there's people fuming, or there's people thinking, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. What we do is an opportunity for people to learn, to be honest. Like, I know full well that if I do 8 verses alive, a bird upon my chest in Germany, that them German Reds will watch that on YouTube and give it 6 months, they'll know every word. Hmm. Whereas they wouldn't have known
give
that.
Give it 6 minutes, that's
my favourite Liverpool chant, by the way.
It's one of mine.
I remember, was it Derby in the Cup a few years ago? It went on for about 20 minutes, yeah. I was in pure heaven.
They had the Huddersfield as well, this year or last year, I can't remember.
Burton as well, I remember.
But when it happens, it's great, isn't it? I mean, and that's why I sing it, and that's why I make sure I sing it every week, because if we don't do that, and we just focus on Van Dijk and Firmino, then it's just going to be a song a season, isn't it? And that's the way it's going to go. Is if we can keep these songs, like I say, My Liverpool, I've had fellas who come up to me going, I haven't heard that since the 70s. How do you know that? And I know it because when I was a kid, they had a little CD, and they had an LP as well, the Cop Choir LP. And they had a little CD, and they had like Liverpool Boys Were In Town, Liverpool Were Never Going to Stop, Kenny D. Pratt, all them like cheesy 70s, 80s songs.
And they get played, to be honest, Billy Carney brings them on albums.
He does, yeah. But I used to know all them songs when I was a kid, and that's why now I've been thinking about putting a new Liverpool song in the set. I'll try and get an older one, as opposed to I'll let the away coaches in the Cop make our new songs. I'm too busy writing my own material. I'm to sit here and think I'm the man who can write the next Liverpool hit. It, as you say, it happens in a moment, doesn't it? But yeah, I prefer all the harder ones. My Liverpool is probably the Scousers Liverpool song of all time, I think. I'll go with that, and Live a Bird Upon My Chest as well.
What about you, mate?
Probably the one I like playing the most is Paul Scouser Tommy, just like because I sing it slow.
And you make sure you tell everyone to sing it slow,
right,
as well.
Not half. It's just not worse when you go, like, everyone, this song's too fast now, you can't even hear the words when we sing it on the Cop. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember, have you ever seen that video? LFC TV done it. It was like This Is Anfield or something like that, and it shows you the Cop singing Paul Scouser Tommy, right, in like
no clap.
the 70s.
No clap though, is there?
And it goes no clap, no. And when it goes, I'd seen that week, and when they say Liverpool, like it's literally like a battle cry. You're like what from the telly? You know what I mean? It's that loud, and like it's just a proper, but it's just a boss song, and it's just a story. It's like proper like. It touches with emotions, it's so many different ones, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like
Libyan or Arabian,
Libyan.
It's Libyan.
Cause we found that out recently, lad. I've been singing it for about fucking 20 years. Long, like.
It's Libyan. It's not even up for debate, to be honest.
The battle was in Libya, you know what I mean? Yeah. So,
be fair though, I think Libya is Arabian, isn't it? So you can get away with saying Arabian, like it does fit, but it's
like
Libyan.
People don't say the Arabian sun, you just say Radiant sun, or Radiant sun.
Yeah, some I've people have heard that,
you know what I mean?
That's up there with International Army, instead of International Ally.
Yeah, but like, I've never heard that one.
Thing on your International Army, I've heard that a few
times. Honest to God, you'd be a surprise,
but yeah, it's Libyan.
Paul Scouse told me when it's sunk slow, especially because I like doing that bit in a way where I go, and I hold it for ages, and it's sort of the end of the slow bit, and like now we can go for, and the glasses go in the air, the tables start banging, and it's just like, and then it comes to that bit, that's him, that we left. And another one I like is We Are The Men from the Anfield Spine Cop.
Yeah, that's
because that's like a proper on the road song, and like I've so many times in Europe the night before the game, like everyone's beating me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Shit.
Swaying.
You know, we're going to be rough tomorrow for this match. And then someone will just get the drink, you just the swigger in the corner, and it'll be like, We Are The Men. And then it'll come to that bit, because we know our team will, and then like everyone thinks the fucking Juve have turned up. And it's like, fight. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's just like a proper war cry, innit?
Yeah, it is.
Like, and it just makes you feel, like for me, it makes you feel part of something. Like, I like playing that song. For the Al ones, like Keaton said, like it's always the Al school ones. Listen, Van Dijk and that. Van Dijk's songs are belted, it's dead catchy. Same with like.
The thing is, though, Jay, 30, 40 years' time, like, when there'll be 18-year-old saying,
bringing it back.
Them our tunes, like the Van Dyke one, we need to bring that back. Yeah. So.
I met my love by the gas yard wall. Dreamed a dream by the old canal. I kissed my girl by the factory wall. Dirty old town, dirty old town. He's our center, he's our number four. Watch him defend, and we watch him score. He'll pass the ball, come as you like. He's Virgil van Dijk, he's Virgil van Dijk. He's a censored half, he's a number four. Watch him defend, I'll be watching score. He'll pass the ball, come as you like. He's Virgil van Dijk, he's Virgil van Dijk. He's a censored half, he's our number four. Watch him defend, and we watch him score. He'll pass the ball, come as you like. He's Virgil van Dijk, he's Virgil van Dijk. He's our censored half, he's our number. Watch him defend, and we watch him score. He'll pass the ball, come as you like. He's Virgil van Dijk, he's Virgil van Dijk.
What about the true highlights from doing Box Night? I mean, like, Kiev surely got to be up there.
Well, like, for me, probably, obviously, the things that have comforted for me, like playing guitar with Alison and that was cool, going on a tour, like, what a privilege. I suppose, for me, I've told this story not long ago. I was on tour with Liverpool last year in the summer, obviously doing the Box Nights out there, and, like, the club had took us out for a scran. All non-Melwood staff went for a scran in this like Kentucky barbecue restaurant. And Fowler, Rush, Risa and Hippie A were there, the four legends. You can call Risa one, you know what I mean? But like definitely Hippie A, Fowler and Rush were there, you know what I mean? And so we've been sat there and then they took us to a bar and I was shitting myself. I wanted to be dead professional. My throat was hurting a little bit. So I had a glass of water and I was like, if I'm going home to bed, I'm going to flying tomorrow, got another gig. So I walked over and like at this like elite table at the end of the bar, it was like Fowler, Rush and John Powell, who's like photographed Liverpool from all the art, you know, yeah, we used to have the art processing rooms, and he's done them all through the career, 40, 50 years, he's been there, John, now.
He's the club photographer, yeah, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, his son does it as well, Andy, yeah. Well, they sat there, like, you know what I mean, they've seen everything that's happened in Liverpool from the closest view over the past how many years, you know what I mean, and so I walked over just to say, listen, because he said a few nice things about me, like in the earlier gigs. So I walked over to Robbie and Rushy, as I call them now, which is, I find fucking absolutely nuts. So I walked over to them and was like, all right, fellas, listen, I just want to say thank you for being so nice to me and everything, and like, you know, giving me the support over the past couple of days. It's been great to be in your company and that. I'm going to go home now, my throat's hurting. And Fowler and Rush were like, no, hang on a minute, lads. We've wanted to have a little chat with you, actually. Come and sit down here. Get six cars lights there, Bud lights there. So I'm like, oh, like, can you imagine me sitting down? Hands on the table like that. And they're like, yeah, I'll have a bevy, lad. It's sound and that. So they start talking to me. And then, like, literally, they're not talking. Fowler's not sat there saying, yeah, my hat-trick in 4 minutes. So Rush isn't saying my fucking 346 goals or whatever it is. You know what I mean? They're not saying that. They're just, like, talking to you. So, like, you know, like, how long you been going to match in there, Fowler? Have you got kids, yeah? Like, you know what I mean? Like, one of them, I love everything I've done in football. My kids are the things I'm most proud of. And you think, fucking hell, you know what I mean? Like, that. Yeah. They're just normal fellas, and you see them like that. So I said, listen, after two, I said, I'm going now. Like, it's half one, two in the morning now. I'm flying tomorrow. I want to make sure, I don't want to take the piss of being brought out here, this, that, the other. So Rushy, like, all right, it's Sam. Rushy, like, sort of nudges me and goes, you had no fire, lad. Yeah. I said, yeah, he went, do you know where the hotel is? I said, yeah, Sam. I'll walk home with you if you don't mind.
Fucking right, mate. Yeah.
I felt like saying it's a straight road, you didn't tell him, you know what I mean? I thought, I want you to all by hand the whole way home. So we had to walk home, and like, I was telling him about like, similar key saying, he had like the, you know, the cop choir thing when I used to go to my granddad's on our terms, and I used to want to be a striker. And my granddad used to have the history of Liverpool FC, Liverpool FC and its origins, and from Shankly through to Fagan, they were like three cassettes that he had. And I used to watch them on repeat all the time. He used to say, there was one time where I wanted to be a goalie, and he used to say, watch today, Clements, watch the save. He wouldn't do nothing all week, all game, and then he'd have a header at the back post, and he'd have to tip over the bar, and that's how you knew he was the best keeper in the world, because he wouldn't trust it. And then he'd say, but if you want to be a striker, look at Ian Rush. So, like, obviously, yeah, he was looking at Ian Rush, banging goals in, just, I think it was like an hour and
the
20
minutes.
Old
goal rush.
Yeah, we've got that behind you somewhere, I reckon, you know, probably down at the bottom down, somewhere.
Here we go.
Have we got it?
Yeah, you have.
Some screamers on that, mate.
Look at him. Look, there
some
he
is. Absolute belt.
Do you know what I mean? And I was telling him about this, and like, he actually stopped me and he said, well, like, listen, he said, well, like, you know, I was just a normal fella, like your granddad, do you know what I mean? Like, so we were well off, but we didn't have what they have today and all that. He was like, I'll always be in touch with like normal people and that because I am a normal person. And he said, and you know, if there is anything up there, like, you know, maybe your granddad's looking down and smiling at you now. I was just like literally the eye of the tears. I was like, oh, mate, I was in a lift with him at this point. He was on floor 26, I was on 5. So the lift doors dinged open. I was like, he went, I'll see you in the morning, Jay. And like, I just went, see you in the morning, Ian. And I walked out the lift shut behind me and literally fell to my knees, like, you know what I mean? And I was like, fucking hell, like, literally, head in my hands, like, what, that's like, it's unwritten for that to ever happen to me or anyone like me. And then, like, so I fucking phoned my parents. You're not going to believe what's just happened to me. And I was like, it was just like a proper overwhelming experience. It was just goes to show, like, what sort of a club we actually are, that sort of interaction goes on, and, like, you know, it's just brilliant. So that's the highlight for me, that walk home with Ian Rush, you know what I mean? Like, it was just fucking phenomenal. Obviously, I've met loads of legends in the past, but to have, like, that sort of a conversation and, like, be able to sort of tell him a bit about your granddad and that, you know what I mean, yeah, and your dad.
And then to bring it back up to you, so you know he was listening
as
well.
Yeah, like, of course. Yeah, and, like, and he'd had a few as well, you know what I mean? He probably can't remember saying it, like, but he said it, you know what I mean? And like,
can you top that?
No, I can't top that. I think, to be honest,
feel sly asking him first now, fucking hell.
I'm sorry, I jumped the gun there, like, but...
No, I think that's obviously a very, very heavy and a personal story, but I think my favourite moments was probably Sunday, to be honest, at the Olympia. But in terms of reaching the players, I mean, I remember getting a text off Nico when we'd done District and we'd done the Naby Keita song with Andy Robbo.
Yeah.
And Nico texted me and him saying, I just got a text off someone from the club saying that Naby and Andy Robbo have been watching your video and the changes. And I was like, wow, like, fuck, we're reaching the players here. Like, we do this to, like, create an atmosphere amongst Liverpool fans. But now what we're doing is it's reaching the players. Like, this team that we've spent thousands and thousands of pounds going to watch, is seeing that when you were a kid, you pretended that you wanted to play for. And now that what we're doing, they're watching us. And
I'm still hopeful of signing for Liverpool one day, lad.
you're not far off the way you're carrying on, to be honest, mate. But I think even the Munich video, Virgil watching you sing that. I mean, we're reaching the players here. And in terms of favourite moments, like I said, Sunday was a bit special because obviously early on we had our close mates and our people we watched.
To be fair, you've sang Alea with John Aldridge though, haven't you? That's pretty
good. I have sang Alea with John Aldridge, yeah.
Scouse that, like, you know what I mean? Let's have it right.
Yeah, that is Scouse, to be fair, like, singing Alea with John Aldridge. But yeah, Sunday at the Olympia was a bit like, we had, like, John, we played with John Powell before in Kia, but John Powell there, who's an influence of ours, and we've got Louis on the bill, who's an established artist in Liverpool. But then, the way the Olympia was laid out, it was the same sort of like busy red shirt crowd that we've had at all the gigs across Europe, but then there was this big wall of banners, and then when the spotlight went on to you'd spot one of your mates just absolutely having
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, watching your mates enjoy it,
that's what I'm saying.
That's
what I was saying before. I've always said I'd rather play in front of 10,000 people than 10 people. I find crowds easier than my close mates because they're the people that take the piss. They're the people that.
Yeah.
But when you see them losing all their inhibitions, leaning over a big banner saying we'll fight the fight for Liverpool, just absolutely having it. Oh, Shankly's back. You know what I mean? It's a special moment. Like, and to Boss must be around 10 years old now. I mean, 8 years old, whatever it is. And to walk off stage there, Bear throws your arms around you and you look back and you think, that was a gig and a half, that mate, you know what I mean? Like, it was an open mic night at one point, which I weren't that confident to playing.
And you know what, the work that Dan Nicol does for me and him?
Yeah.
Like, and Sean and Jono, all three of them.
But like, RPA Sean.
Yeah, but particularly, like, me and Dan, like, because we have we have meetings with the club over, like, these things and... You know, Dan's constantly in contact with the club because the club do see us as like a bridge between the two sets of supporters. And like Dan is, like, he is such a busy lad in terms
of people say to us all the time, you're still working stuff. You think, Nico and Sean and JD, they've got a job too, you know what I mean? Like, we're playing an hour and a half, an hour. The work that goes into that hour and a half before we get to do it, it's all down to them.
Particularly with Liverpool, because like, obviously the way Liverpool are, they're a big business, do you know what I mean? Whether you like it or not.
Nothing simple.
Yeah, whether you like talking about it or not. And like these people who are dealing with us, they're professional, do you know what I mean? And you know me, I am who I am. I'm sort of what you see is what you get. I try my best to bend to as many audiences as I can when I'm in conversation with them. But like Dan just made it so easy for me the whole time. And he always does the whole time with us. He, like the way he talks to people on my behalf, on Boss's behalf, like, the things that he does behind the scenes to make sure that things aren't gonna be perceived as unnatural or, you know, like cheesy or anything like that. Like, he really does.
But it's the support network around you all as well, isn't it? Because I'm sure you know lads that, because of the way you've been going the game, Kieran and stuff like that, these lads would tell you if they thought you were doing something wrong, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and they do.
And they do, without a doubt.
They do. Like I said, the situation where we had District locked out and there's 700-800 people outside, out of them 700-800 people, a lot of them are people that we know. People like, not all of them, obviously, but there's people that we know out there and our phones are off the hook and or they go in there and they say, it's a joke, the price of the ale in that gaff, or what was all this about running out of ale in Munich? And you know what I mean? Like, come on, mate.
We're on stage with guitars, we can't stop the bar as well for you.
And just
phone Nicho.
Yeah, phone Nicho, speak to him. But like, literally, that's
the beauty of it, though. Like I said, like
he's such, like, and he's not there just to take the fall because we are all a team and everything else, but like I say, people do voice their opinions, and I'm a firm believer, if you have an opinion, voice it, stand up for what you're hearing, like, no problem at all.
But also listen to the other side of it as well, I'd say.
Listen, but one thing that my pet hate is when people voice their opinions not knowing or not taking the time to even find out exactly what's going on, which I'm sure you can appreciate as well. Like, I'm sure we can all, anyone who's ever been in any sort of spotlight can probably appreciate that, because you will always get, with success, you will always get critics. But the problem is, like, the critics with us is, people say about, like, me and Boss Knight now, especially with this whole, the arena thing, people have seen an ass over it a little bit with the prices. And listen, I'm not a millionaire. Dan, Sean and Jono, the three licensed directors of Boss Knight, do not take a penny out of it for their own personal. This is a project for them. They've all got successful business lives outside of Boss Knight, you know what I mean? This is a project for them. It sounds cringy, but it is for the greater good with them sort of people. And when people, like, take to the internet to say,
to be honest,
you're loaded, you're creaming it, this, that, the other. It's not. They don't know what goes into it. They don't know what we take out of it. Do you know what I mean? What we take out of it mainly is the fucking thrill of doing it all. Do you know what I mean?
Like, 100%. Obviously, I think, to be honest, though, Jay, I think the people that are saying stuff like this haven't been to Boss Knight before.
Yeah.
And I think the people who are saying stuff like this are one of the type of people who would moan at anything.
The thing is, you can't please all of these people that when
we don't get 3 points, are questioning Klopp.
Yeah, exactly.
These are these type of people who just professional moaners and have a problem. I think if anyone who's been to watch me and Jay over the past few years has made what we're doing in the arena.
Yeah.
I think anyone who's been to Boss Knight and enjoyed themselves
anyone who is given the 2 pence worth, that's just what I've asked them, do you work for free? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you work your whole life for free? Like, in terms of us now, me and Kieran, we've had to take time off work,
yeah.
Right?
We
enjoy doing this sort
of
thing.
We've still got jobs, you know what I mean?
We've had to take time out of work to ensure that, like, the promotions, like, for all these gigs coming up, the Irish tour, to the rest of our voices, it takes a lot, you know what I mean? And, like, even when I'm playing the pubs, they don't see me turn up 3 hours before and putting cables across ceilings to set my speakers up. They don't see me sat there, like, acting like a nun because I can't drink before I play because I'm worried about my throat while everyone else is absolutely letting loose. Do you know what I mean? And you're dealing with the stresses also behind the scenes of people trying to get
wanting tickets
backstage and everything else, and literally just general hassle, you know what I mean? And it's not like we're paid, we're on footballers' wages. Boss to always do the best to look after us, but, you know, like I've said a few times now, but we can't, you've seen me pull up in it there outside, it's not a Bentley, you know what I mean? It's probably even worse to sit in the passenger seat than it is for me, because I've got all sorts of shit in the footwell as well.
More
Ibeen
a bottle than Jimmy Milner's Bentley, lads.
But like I say, you know, that's the only frustrating thing, when people really don't know us or they don't know what we got, what everyone does to put into it, and exactly they don't know what we get out of it. You know what I mean?
Or what could be?
Yeah.
If you just had a positive attitude and got along to it. What limit has this got?
And what I can guarantee for anyone who's skeptical or dubious or thinking about maybe getting a ticket, you know what I mean? I don't claim to be the best vocalist. I don't claim to be the best guitarist. You know, I haven't got melodies coming up my ass, but listen, I'll entertain you. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know that's
the whole night. Well,
Kieran, we, everyone involved, you'll be entertained. You won't feel like, I hope not anyway. I can't remember anyone walking out of one and saying, that was shit. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, everyone who's got in there and got involved, I've only ever heard good things of people.
But the 25 quid fee for that Echo Arena, anyone who comes out of there would stand there and ask them, is that worth every penny? And I guarantee they say they would, because there's people who paid twice over, three times over to experience some of the nights that we've had in that district, and even the Olympia the other night. And yeah. I think, if you remember, we're doing this to get behind Liverpool.
Yeah, it's a Madrid send-off party.
We're doing this so the players can see them videos. The players and the air are going to say, have you seen what they're doing in the Echo Arena down there? For you lot. That's why we're doing it. We're literally just a send-off party. We want our players to go, Tottenham are doing nothing like that there.
Yeah. No,
you can't let these down again this time. It should give them another
I was lucky enough to do some video stuff at one of the In Conversation night, Jamie Carragher one. Like, and all I will say from, you know, someone who's not involved with Boss Night in any way, shape or form, I was there on the side of the stage and we were all working, and I looked around at all of us and all of us were fucking on our feet singing. Yeah. And we were working and we were there at the side of the stage, and I looked out and saw that view that you get. And it was fucking incredible.
Yeah,
and the love that you can feel that's coming towards that stage from you told me that these lads do a fucking incredible job. Like,
nah, I appreciate it. I've just clocked your T-shirt as well. I had to belt it on.
It's all right, that one, in it, yeah.
It's a crack of that. I've literally just clocked. I've seen it before and I've just started taking notes of all of these. Sorry, lad, I just started talking. You fucking sound that.
It's like much to impress him, like.
Yeah, but no, like, as I say, thanks very much. And,
yeah.
You know, it is, because it's just, like, but the underlying issue is, if I wasn't on the stage, I'd be in the crowd. Do you know what I mean? And, like, that's what people need to remember, because a lot of people do know it, but, like, we're fans first, you know what I mean? Yeah. We just so happen to be riding our luck a little bit, that we've been in the right place at the right time and worked hard, you know, in the background to make it all come to fruition. But, yeah, we're enjoying ourselves, and we want other people to enjoy it. Yeah.
There you go, man. And there you go. And listen, gents, I've kept you long enough. It's been an absolutely incredible experience sitting here chatting to you. Hope you've enjoyed the video. Let us know in the comments section what you thought, which was your favourite song. Let's pit them off against each other. don't forget to like the video. But more importantly than that, go to bit.ly/BossEcho and you can get your tickets for this Madrid send-off party. Support the lads and support the lads on the field, because we've got a massive game in the Champions League final where Liverpool will be looking to bring home number fucking 6.
That's it.
Yes,
nice,
that's
one,
that's
lads. It. Thank you very much.
Ta-ra.
Between when I got asked to do that interview with Alison, we had that scheduled when we were actually on tour. He'd signed and he wasn't on tour because he had things to do back here. And a few of the lads in the media team said to me, listen, we're gonna make this work because we know he plays guitar. And we asked him early on, and it was set for, like, November, I think, maybe even earlier. And he actually turned around and said, no, listen, like, I want to do it. I think it's going to be brilliant to do, but I want to establish myself as a goalkeeper first.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Do you know what I mean? That is the big difference. And, like,
for me,
I was like, you know what, mate?
Boss,
like, brilliant.
Publicity came first.
I'm a fan first. I'd rather you keep 10 clean sheets in the first half of the season than me go and play guitar. But you're not playing guitar every day, you know what I mean? It's not... it was nice to meet him, and the time that he gave me was unbelievable. But, like, you know, first and foremost, I'm a fan, he's a goalie. You know what I mean? And the Napoli save, look, that Napoli save wasn't made. We're not talking about Madrid. And we're probably not even sat here. If he doesn't make that Napoli save.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.